to Hayward. He'll step back three. Bang! Big, big buckets down the stretch. 32 for Hayward. Hayward on a step back. Oh! Down she goes! Hayward, one big shot after another, and a career night for Gordon Hayward.
This is Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Biscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. We're going to continue on with the NBA basketball talk. Now that the 2015-2016 is in the books, we can start to focus on the aftermath and everything that comes next. I mean, we jump right into the NBA draft. It's just a couple of days away. And joining us right now to break down the offseason, we have James Holas. He's with bballbreakdown.com. Joined us on the show just a couple of weeks ago to talk about the NBA finals. I look forward to have James on the show all the time because he's a great basketball mind. James, thank you again for taking out the time for us.
Oh, man, you honor me. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Now that it's all over with, we can start talking about what's next for both Cleveland and Golden State. And I want to start with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It didn't take long for Stephen A. Smith to spark the brain and have Twitter light up like a forest fire today, saying that if LeBron James does indeed leave Cleveland, Los Angeles and Miami would be the two spots that would where he would most likely land. Am I wrong for thinking that it's just foolish that LeBron would leave the situation right now in Cleveland?
You're not wrong at all. It's so weird how people just keep, you know, stroking these kind of fires. Now, the caveat I will say is that when I first heard the rumblings of him leaving Miami to go back to Cleveland, I thought that was BS, too.
Yeah, me too.
But, I mean, let's be real. It'd be the optics of it would be terrible. It'd be a PR nightmare. He just got back home a couple years ago. He knows how much he means to the area. He knows how much he means to the NBA. And, you know, once you bring a championship home, you got to try to defend it. So there's no way. It's silly.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on it. Now, with that being said, I do believe Cleveland has to get better next season because I still do not believe that they are a better team front to back than Golden State. And with that being said, it's always more difficult to defend that championship than it is to get it. So what moves does Cleveland make going into the offseason? Is Kevin Love now expendable, or do you view him as a piece that has to come back? And the same with Kyrie Irving. I mean, are both of these guys a lock to return next season?
It's funny with Kevin Love. He had he snapped up a lot of rebounds in Game 7. He had that one great defensive play with Steph Curry at the end of the game, and all of a sudden it seems like all is forgiven. But let's be real. For most of the series, he was a ghost. He didn't matter one way or another. So I think he's a much better option to be moved than Kyrie. Kyrie, I think, really proved his worth and proved that he can thrive playing off of LeBron James. That's what LeBron James needs. He needs somebody else to be that primary, you know, sometimes it's secondary, mostly primary scorer, so that allows LeBron James to do everything else. I'm not sure exactly how Kevin Love fits. He's not an ideal fit with his team when a guy like Channing Frye or even like Ryan Anderson could do what he does positively without, you know, needing more touches and maybe some of the negativity there. But I just don't know where he goes. As talented as he is, I don't know what team gets markedly better by giving up assets and then getting Kevin Love in there right now. So that's what makes it so tough about moving Kevin Love.
As far as the offseason goes for Cleveland, they can get better without necessarily moving Kevin Love. I mean, we just saw a guy like David West opt out of his contract in San Antonio. I think there's going to be guys like that that would be willing to come to Cleveland for the idea of playing for a championship. And let's be honest, as it stands right now, if LeBron does return to Cleveland, I don't see anybody in the East beating this team next year, James.
As long as LeBron James is playing at this level or close to it, the East is his to lose, as we saw. Because, I mean, Toronto was the best team they had in a while, and they got handled pretty easily. I think I attribute Cleveland losing to Toronto those couple games more to them. Cleveland losing focus than what Toronto did great. So, yeah, as long as LeBron James is playing at around this level, and, you know, Kyrie's only going to get better, he's not even in his prime yet. And, you know, Tristan Thompson was amazing. Let's tip our cap to him. As long as they have LeBron and Kyrie, it's kind of scary because when I hear people say, hey, Kevin Durant should go east because it's easier, it sounds good in theory, but, I mean, still LeBron James, that's his neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, let's flip that to Golden State. The idea of them acquiring Kevin Durant at some point in time in the offseason, that was talk that I think sparked a lot of interest throughout the regular season. And I know if you crunch the numbers, it is possible with them falling and having a mastermind like Jerry West there in Golden State, you know, to kind of control things or help control things. Where do the Warriors go from here?
I mean, they can't overreact. They last year they were the beneficiary of great injury luck. This year, I think this. Some bad luck where Bogut got hurt, and then Iguodala's back acted up, and we know what happened with Curry early in the playoff. And I'm not going to say he was injured, but I don't think he ever got his rhythm back. And so they can't overreact. They still are, you know, a top. I think they're already the odds already came out. They're already a favorite for next year. They want to tweak it. I know that Barnes looked terrible those last three games, but, I mean, if they can't get anything better, he's still versatile. He's still long. He's still athletic, so... And he's still getting better, too. So, yeah, they don't need to overreact. They just need better health. If they can add a piece or two somehow in free agency, I know they're going to be aggressive in free agency, too. But, yeah, if you can't get Kevin Durant, I'm not sure how else they really can improve in free agency.
Well, I expect Kevin Durant to set a one-year deal in Oklahoma City, and I'm sure that would be the consensus amongst most pundits. Would you agree with that? I mean, a one-year deal in OKC over the top of going to some place like Golden State or maybe even San Antonio?
That's funny. I hear Miami a lot, too, for some reason, too. Kevin, and this is just my interpretation of what I've seen of him. I'm watching him pretty close for the last 10 years. He said it himself, you know, he said during the season, hey, we're not front runners over here in OKC. I don't think he wants to go and just join a team like Golden State where, you know, sure, I think he'd be the, you know, best player, slash second best player on that team, but there's already a pecking order. I don't think he wants to follow in Kobe's footsteps and go to L.A. I don't think he wants to go and go to Miami where LeBron already has success. It seems like he really kind of thrives on being his own person, his own man, and pushing Golden State to 7 seems like it means a lot. I wouldn't be shocked if not even doing the one-year deal, if he just cashed out this year and just to give his team more flexibility in the future, you know, sign Russ next year, I wouldn't be shocked if Kevin Durant just maxed out right now and says, hey, I'm good with what I got.
Again, our guest right now is James Holis of BeatballBreakdown.com. Now, it is the week of the draft. We're going to jump right into that. A lot of rumors. There's going to be a lot of rumors throughout the next couple of days. It seems like it's going to be Ben Simmons 1, Brandon Ingram 2. I think it's going to be fairly uneventful unless we see a trade, any blockbuster trades that may happen between 1, 2, and 3. And I know you're a big Boston Celtics guy. They have a boatload of assets. Similar situation to the Utah Jazz. I mean, that's another team that has a boatload of assets that I think you kind of have to start considering moving some of these assets eventually. Any blockbuster trades that you would expect from now and Thursday?
Well, we know that Ainge will be burning up the phone lines like he always does. I think the problem is right now the environment is there's going to be so much cash on the, for free agents. When the cap rides, there'll be so much cash available. Teams are kind of probably a little leery of just saying, hey, I'm going to give up an asset now for picks when there's going to be so many opportunities to toss money at, you know, guys they might want. So I think Ainge right now is in a buyer's market, and that's not good for Boston. I heard talk, you know, I think me and you talked about it a little bit. We talked about maybe the Lakers moving D'Angelo for a pick. I don't see it happening. They still want to see what they have in D'Angelo, and he still had that star power, I think, to really thrive in L.A. I'm with you. Simmons is going to go 1. I think Ingram somehow would almost be a better fit right now, short term, but that's not what they're about. And, you know, Simmons' long-term potential is through the roof. So he's going to be 1. Ingram will be 2. Boston will let him make a move, but if not, I think Bender's going to go 3 to them. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, kind of, for Marquise Chris, because that guy looks like he might be an ultimate boomer bust guy. But, yeah, it's probably Dragan Bender 3.
You know, you bring up Marquise Chris. Here's a guy that is skyrocketing right now up the draft boards. And that's why the Lakers and the D'Angelo Russell trade rumors are very interesting, because I could see Chris going anywhere from 3 to 5. And if you can move Russell, if you're that sold on Jordan Clarkson and you were somehow to grab Ingram and Marquise Chris, boy, that right there could definitely be a boomer bust draft for L.A.
I mean, it's fascinating. If it happened, that's awesome. I think L.A. fans should rejoice. But that would be... You know, that I would wonder what whoever made that deal, I would wonder, you know, what they were smoking before they pulled that trigger.
Why?
From the other
right.
side. Not from the Lakers side. Lakers side would be great.
Yeah, I'm with you. Why? Yeah, why would you do that at this particular time? Outside of the NBA draft and the top three teams. Well, let's stick with the NBA draft. Top three teams. You got the Sixers, the Lakers, and the Celtics. What's the most intriguing storyline for you in this year's draft?
Outside of the top three, still Philly, because Philly has a lot of picks and they have a lot of needs. I want to see how now that they've gotten Hinkie out of the picture. You know, I still haven't heard the whole story, and you probably maybe know more than me. Maybe we'll talk offline. You can tell me what you know about that. But now Hinkie's out of the picture. I want to see how they maneuver through the draft. I think New Orleans, they need a big bounce-back season. They were pretty disappointed last season, and now they have this great pick. They have an opportunity to do something great there at that number six pick. Denver, I think, is really a team that people look out for because I think I love Moutier, and now they have, they got the 7 pick, they got the 15 pick, and they got a 19 pick. They can really either make some moves and get some talent in there, or they can actually pick at those positions. I think the draft's a lot deeper than people think.
It's definitely going to be one of those interesting drafts. I do believe that this draft is a little bit deeper than a lot of people want to give credit to. I think there's a lot of sleepers, and the Jazz have brought in some guys here for workouts over the past couple of weeks that I've been very interested in, one being Thon Maker. I see Thon Maker as being a guy that a lot of teams should be aware of, because if he lands in a situation, say like Golden State or San Antonio or OKC, and he ends up going to a team that can afford to take a risk, it could definitely pay dividends. He was down here about 2.5 weeks ago for a workout with the Jazz. I definitely don't see him going 12 overall, but for some reason, James, I'm really fascinated by Thon Maker.
I'm fascinated by him, too. He has all the physical tools. The guy's, 7 foot. His build reminds me of Kevin Durant, except he plays a more perimeter-oriented game. And he can be a power forward, and but the way the modern NBA is going with versatility, it's all about that. My issue with him, and this kind of bothers me from both sides of it, because I heard there's questions about his basketball IQ. And I was watching tape on him. He actually brought this up in an interview that, okay, I know it's concerned about my IQ. And it really kind of makes me feel bad that this young kid already knows that his intelligence is kind of being questioned. But at the same time, from the team side of it, if that's the case, San Antonio is a pretty cerebral team. OKC, Golden State, very cerebral teams. Do you want to bring in a guy who I started watching him a couple years ago, and I haven't seen much improvement, and if there's questions about his basketball smarts, that's a pretty big risk to take, because we saw a guy like Anthony Randolph and Tyrus Thomas who had all the potential in the world that you've never figured out in their head.
James, we're running out of time for this particular segment, so I got one more question for you. I'm going to jump back over to the free agency talk. DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. I mean, there's all these talks of these potential free agents. I think it may be somewhat lackluster. I think it's going to be somewhat anticlimactic. I believe that this year we see most guys stay put with their own teams, including DeMar DeRozan. I think it's just a fit in Toronto. I think he goes back. Any big names that you expect to be moved?
It's weird, just the vibe I got from Al Horford. He was very professional. He said all the right things, but he seemed a little disconnected and detached this season. And, he made a comment about how his three-point shooting, how he wanted the league to know what he can do. Almost like he was showcasing himself. I feel that Al Horford might leave. And for Atlanta's sake, I hope he doesn't, but that was just the feeling I got that he wants that max money. I don't know if they're going to be willing to pay him that, and I can understand why. Sometimes the business of the NBA is cruel. I think Al might have to move on.
There you have it. James Holas of bballbreakdown.com. James, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Check us out at bballbreakdown.com. I'm the lazy guy over there that's really great, smart, bright, fun writers over there. And if you'd like, follow me on Twitter, Snotty Drippin, an homage to my favorite player, Scottie Pippen. So it's, Snotty Drippin.
James, it's always fun to get you on. Hopefully we can talk to you again after the draft.
You the man, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports, but we will be back again to do it tomorrow, and we'll continue heavy NBA talk over the next couple of days as we gear up for the draft. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. I am out.